Well, what about those floods at the Ranger uranium mine and problems with the tailings dam? It reminded me of one solution to such heavy metal pollution, red mud. Do you remember this interview from 11 years ago with the late David McConkie? Here's another bright idea, the one for treating tailings dams full of cyanide. Seems too good to be true, perhaps. Take red mud, add it to the polluted ground, and just wait. David McConkie is Professor of Geochemical Engineering at the Southern Cross University.
Well, effectively, the red mud is free. What we use for the process is seawater neutralised red mud, which is a bauxite refinery residue. In fact, it's classed as an inert solid, so you can transport it and use it wherever you like, pretty much without a permit. But Queensland Alumina produces 6,500 dry tonnes of this every day, and they've been doing that for 30-odd years. So we've got a fairly large resource available.
Professor McConkie, how on earth did you find out that such a common thing can take out all those nasty heavy metals?
Well, it started off when we were asked by Queensland Alumina to come and do an environmental survey of the environmental impact that the company may or may not have been having on South Trees Inlet. This is up at Gladstone. And as a result of this survey, we found that the water that was being discharged from the Red Mud Dam had less heavy metals in it than the water that they were pumping into the dam from the sea in the first place. So essentially, they were stripping trace metals from seawater, which is a very difficult thing to do because we're dealing with extremely low concentrations. And as soon as we realised this, we thought there's something strange going on with the red mud that we need to investigate. And Queensland Alumina then supported a study for us to investigate the red mud in dam and the whole process from a geochemical point of view. And in the course of that, we found out that the red mud had the ability to neutralise about 3.65 moles of acid per kilo of red mud. And at the same time, it can strip out about 1,000 milliequivalents of trace metals. And as soon as we realised that, it was a very simple jump to say, hey, look, this is exactly what we need for a lot of environmental remediation work. And the real beauty of it is that you're using an industrial waste product to fix a serious environmental problem.
So, brilliant innovation, huge need, but then what happened? Well, a company was set up and more research done, but applying the system, for instance, at the Ranger uranium mine, seems to be lagging. And the professor died. Dr. Malcolm Clark has now taken over.
Yes, Dave passed away from a massive heart attack in the field not quite 2 years ago, so what a way to go.
The work continues.
The work certainly does continue on the red muds and trying to ascertain just how they're working and what it is about them that makes them such a useful media in environmental remediation.
Well, as I remember, the idea was that when you've got dirty water with heavy metals and all sorts of stuff that's typically left over either from polluted streams or mining or whatever's been going on, you can actually put it through this red mud, which is produced by the zillions of tons in aluminium mining. And if you put the water through that, the heavy metals are absorbed and out the other end comes nice water.
Yeah, that's right. And we're starting to unravel what it is in these red muds that is binding these metals. We've recently done some work in Japan on the synchrotron there, where we looked at particular minerals that are in the bauxite refinery residues and looked at what metals were attracted to those. And it's quite interesting that not all of the minerals are acting at the same time. Some minerals are reacting just to the copper and the zinc, whereas others are reacting to cobalt and nickel and chrome and some of these other metals as well. So there seems to be a play of different minerals on different metals.
So you tell me you nonetheless do not know how it actually works, is that right?
Well, we've been doing some work with ANSTO as well on reversibility of binding. We've just published a paper in Colloid and Interface Science where we looked at this reversibility. And what we find is with the isotopes for uranium that we looked at, that about 20% of the uranium was irreversibly bound to the particles. We've since done some more experimentation with that and allowed them to age. And we've got as much as 60% irreversible binding after 6 months. And that's suggesting that we've got what I kind of call my Swiss cheese model, where we're getting binding to the surface of minerals, but the mineral structure is actually porous underneath, And given time, metals are moving from the surface of the mineral into these deeper layers and are being irreversibly bound. So it's starting to become a more permanent way of removing some of these metals from the environment.
Is the technique, however, being used as a matter of routine out there?
Yeah, the company that's taken over the technology is still going. They're still operating out of the Gold Coast, and they're still using this technology as the basis of their environmental remediation.
Mainly where and what sort of site?
Mostly in the mining side, but we've also looking at the sewage treatment. We did quite a bit of work in the Redlands Shire Council, such that we gave them about an overall saving of something around about 15% in their costs for doing their sewage treatment because of the phosphorus retention to these red muds.
What about a scale? Of course, it would be ideal to use on a very big scale, can it?
Yeah, in fact, actually, it's probably where it's most useful is in large scale, especially for large mining areas. It's got acid neutralising capacity, it's got metal binding capacity, it retains moisture for plant growth, and it's going to retain nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus. So you can use it and blend it with things like, you know, sewage wastes, sewage solids, and use those as the nutrient source for then using this material to help build soil structures.
So where do you think, Malcolm, this scheme, this wonderful idea, where's it going to go in the long term?
Look, I think ultimately the alumina refiners are going to start to run out of space, and they're going to have to start looking at how do they reuse this material in the large scale. I mean, there's things like ceramic type materials. We've completed a large scale process where we've looked at the material in concrete. We get improved strength, improved elasticity of the concrete, but we just can't add too much. But then again, concrete's a very large scale industry. So even if they were only adding it at 5 or 10%, there's so much concrete produced each year that you could use very large amounts of the material.
But I was thinking more in the long term as one of these cleaning systems.
Yeah, I think there are lots of mine sites around that need this sort of technology. The problem with a lot of these industries is that they are very conservative. They're happy to use what they've always used. And I guess it takes a little bit of risk-taking and adventure from some of the regulatory systems as well.
Dr. Malcolm Clark at the Southern Cross University in Lismore, New South Wales.